How and when does Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, remove his church from the world? We'll find out today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, the daily Bible teaching program sponsored by CJF Ministries in San Antonio, Texas. You can visit us online at cjfm.org. This is Liz Aiello. Today, our Bible teacher is John Cantor. Born in Los Angeles, John came to faith in Yeshua at the young age of 16. After a successful, though unfulfilling, broadcast career, John shifted gears and attended Moody Bible College in 1986 and graduated in 1991. While at Moody, he was active in Jewish evangelism and discipleship through the ministry of two Messianic congregations in the Chicago suburbs. Today, John preaches and teaches in over 100 churches a year, and we're glad he was able to take time away from this ministry to share this message with us. And now, with Capture of the Rapture, here's John Cantor.
It's good to be back with you as we continue this series we're calling The Capture of the Rapture, Christ's removal of the church from the world. Now, last time we talked about how this removal happens. We focused on seven summary points in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. We began with a realization. We said that the Lord wants every believer to know the truth of the rapture. And He wants us to know that believing loved ones who have died will participate in the rapture. We then touched on revelation. We said that Paul wanted his readers to know that his message did not originate from himself, but that what he said came directly from the Lord. His teaching had the stamp and approval of divine authority. Next, we focused on the return. We noted that a supernatural announcement consisting of a commanding shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God will precede Messiah's return for his own. We then shifted to resurrection. We said that when Christ comes down from heaven, the first thing that will happen is that the bodies of deceased believers will be resurrected and reunited to their perfected spirits that have returned with the Lord. These resurrected bodies will be glorified and made incorruptible so they can exist in the perfection of heaven. Our next point was removal. As soon as the dead have been raised, living believers will immediately be transformed and brought into the presence of Christ without ever experiencing physical death. We then looked at the reunion. Following the removal of living believers, the dead in Christ and all who know Christ will meet the Savior together. And finally, we reflected on the reassurance. Reassurance, knowing that there is a rapture, brings comfort and hope to God's people, particularly when a believing loved one dies. So having looked now at how this happens, let's transition to when it happens. And of course, this requires that we survey some different conclusions. However, we should remember that we're talking about differences among premillennialists. Premillennialists, by definition, all agree that when Christ returns to the earth with his saints, he will institute the kingdom promised to David. That's the conviction that undergirds this entire discussion. Now, you'll recall from the previous broadcast that we defined the rapture as the future event when Christ descends from heaven and resurrects the bodies of deceased believers and transforms the bodies of living believers, immediately bringing both groups into his presence where they will live eternally with him. And so in the pre-tribulational view, this event, Christ coming for his entire church, occurs before any part of the future seven-year tribulation begins. So in a pre-tribulational scheme, what this means is that the rapture could happen at any moment without warning and without signs. The next position is the mid-tribulational view. This view identifies the rapture as taking place after a period of 3.5 years following the beginning of the tribulation. In this model, the last half of the 70th week, mentioned in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, is emphasized as being far more severe than the first half. And so while it is acknowledged that the church participates in at least part of what Jeremiah calls the time of Jacob's trouble, the primary emphasis is that the church is absent during the most severe judgments of this period, which are referred to as the Great Tribulation. This brings us now to the post-tribulational position. This view asserts that the rapture will occur at the end of the tribulation, right before the second coming of Christ back to earth. This means that believers will be caught up to meet Christ in the air and then will return immediately with him back to the earth. Now, another way some have approached the issue of the rapture is to say that only faithful, devoted believers will be removed before the tribulation begins. This is called the partial rapture theory. This position asserts that one of the purposes of the tribulation is to test and spiritually purge lukewarm carnal believers who will be left behind at the coming of Christ so that they will be made ready to meet their Lord. Well, finally, the fifth view concerning the timing of the rapture that we want to consider is what is called the pre-wrath rapture view. Now, in this system, the rapture is said to occur about 3/4 or 5.5 years through the tribulation. In this view, the rapture takes place when the wrath of God begins to be poured out on the earth at the seventh seal spoken of in the book of Revelation. Now, if you're looking for a good resource that will clearly lay out for you the arguments both for and against these various views, let me suggest the book Charts of Bible Prophecy by Wayne House and Randall Price. You can purchase it from our online bookstore, messianicspecialties.com. Now, for the remainder of this series, I'd like to make a case for a pre-tribulational rapture and then talk about how the truth of that can influence our lives today. One line of evidence for a pre-trib rapture is the place of the church in the book of Revelation. The primary section of the Bible that describes the tribulation period is Revelation chapters 4 through 19, and yet in that section there is no mention of the church. This curious silence is in direct contrast to Revelation 1 through 3, where the church is specifically mentioned a total of 19 times. After that, the church is mentioned again in Revelation 22:16. But between these two points, the church is strangely absent from the account of unprecedented, horrific, cataclysmic events taking place on the earth. Now, granted, one could say this is an argument from silence. Nevertheless, I think that silence is pretty loud. Another argument for a pre-trib rapture is the removal of the restrainer. You see, the present age in which we now live is described as an age of restraint, 2 Thessalonians 2:6. Even though things are often bad, they're not nearly as bad as they could be. The future tribulation age is described as an age of rebellion, at which time the restrainer is removed, 2 Thessalonians 2:7 through 9. It seems best, then, to understand the restrainer as the Holy Spirit working in and through the church to limit the manifestation of evil. The Holy Spirit accomplishes his ministry of restraining lawlessness in the world mainly through the influence of Christians whom he indwells, specifically as they communicate the gospel and as people get saved. Now, since the removal of the restrainer takes place before the manifestation of the lawless one, and since during the tribulation the lawless one will have greater freedom doing things that will eventually result in him being identified as the Antichrist, I take it that this sequence of events strongly implies a pre-tribulational rapture. A third line of evidence for a pre-trib rapture is the exemption from divine wrath. In Revelation 3:10 through the beginning of verse 11, the Lord's promise of deliverance from the tribulation is very specific. John writes, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly." Notice two important things about this promise. First, the Lord promises to keep his people not just from the hardships of worldwide testing, but also from the hour of testing itself. What is the hour of worldwide testing? Well, since John only mentions one period of worldwide testing in the book of Revelation, chapters 6 through 19, I take it that he's talking about the tribulation period. Second, notice the means of this protection. I am coming quickly. If we put these two points together, it appears that the Lord will protect his people from worldwide testing by coming for them at the rapture. Well, next time, we'll look at some additional reasons for a belief in a pre-tribulational rapture, as well as the difference that that makes in our lives. Until then, shalom.
Thank you, John. And thank you, listening friends, for joining us here on the program today. It's always good to have you with us. If you would like your own copy of this series entitled Capture of the Rapture, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for a friend, you'll be glad to know that it's available on compact disc for the suggested amount of $6. Just visit our secure online store at messianicspecialties.com to place your order. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. You'll be glad to know that our daily programs are available as downloadable podcasts. We're listed in the iTunes Music Store. Just access the Music Store through the link on our homepage at cjfm.org or by searching for Messianic Perspectives at the iTunes Music Store. You'll find the subscription information there. Would you rather listen on your computer? Our broadcasts are also available as webcasts. Just click on the media link on our homepage at cjfm.org. Once again, our web address is simply cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as John Cantor continues his series, Capture of the Rapture, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.